The lesson tonight is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 to 24, a fivefold charge to believers facing astonishing troubles. The church at Corinth had an astonishing variety of aberrant, that means errant, beliefs and practices, making it not only difficult to disciple, but hard for those in the church to function there well. In concluding his epistle to this body, Paul gave a fivefold charge, what we do well to heed in view of the spiritual challenges we often confront, even in our spiritually needy era of church history, as follows. Let me read the passage and then we'll look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 to the end of the epistle. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done in charity, with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves or dedicated themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet you one another with a holy kiss, which is like our handshake today. The salutation of me, Paul, with my own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. And then Maranatha, which means our Lord come. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay, a fivefold charge by Paul. First, Paul urged believers who faced astonishing troubles to watch out for the angelic conflict and to fulfill their Christian service responsibilities assigned to them by the Lord. The term watch, actually, it translates the Greek verb gregoreo. We get the term Greg or Gregory from it. My son's named after this. It means to watch or to be vigilant. It's a verb that is used of watching for satanic temptation. It was first used by Jesus in Matthew 26:41 in the Garden of Gethsemane when he warned the disciples to watch and pray. And it's also used to be diligent to fulfill one's calling and ministry that he receives from the Lord. Matthew 24, verse 42, Jesus was talking about the great tribulation and the coming of the Son of Man. And he says, be on the watch because you don't know when the Son of Man is coming. In other words, you're going to give an account to the Lord someday. So in view of that fact, make sure that you watch, that you're steady, that you're faithful in the ministry of the Lord, that you haven't quit. Well, the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15:58 had been admonished to devote themselves to keeping at God's service assignments in view of the fact that some had said that there is no resurrection, and so they thought, if there's no resurrection, why keep serving the Lord? Because there's no future, there's no reward for it. And many problems these Corinthians faced would have been fueled by Satan. We know that because in Ephesians 6:10 through 12, Paul says, we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and so forth. That's a reference to the angelic conflict. Whenever there's a struggle, where you're in the spiritual realm and you're just pushing and pushing and pushing, but you're not getting anywhere, it doesn't seem you're getting anywhere, often Satan is behind it. And so we have to be very careful about that. And what's interesting is that many times Satan tries to discourage a believer from staying at the ministry to which he's been assigned of the Lord. Many times he'll try to get you to quit doing that which is perfectly right, which God has called you to do. So the combination of the angelic conflict plus the tendency, the temptation to quit the ministry assignment that God has given you, both of those things you have to watch out for. This is satanic. So they were to watch out for the angelic conflict, especially as Satan would tempt them to cease fulfilling the ministries they had been assigned by the Lord. You'll notice in the notes that I darkened that area out. Why did I darken it out? In my own life as a pastor, over the 40 years that I've been a pastor, the evil one has pressured and pressured and pressured me relentlessly in that very area, the area of trying to quit or urging me to quit. You're just gumming up the works. Get out of it. Stop hurting the other people of God. You're just blocking them up. And that's all of Satan. And often when you stake the stand, then right after that, there's a breakthrough and there's a real advance. So we have to be very careful not to yield to that pressure. Second, Paul urged believers who faced astonishing troubles to stand firm in the faith in verse 13b. In 1 Corinthians 11:3, Paul shows that Paul's readers were vulnerable to false teaching, because in that passage, and let me just look at it here, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, I will get it here. Paul says, chapter 6, 11, verse 3, that's the wrong passage. But anyway, in 1 Corinthians 11:3, it shows Paul's readers were vulnerable to false teaching. It was because they were immature. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. That's true, but that's not the passage that I was looking for. There was one passage, maybe it's 1 Corinthians 14:3, anyway, where he says, stop being children. I'll have to look it up, and I'll correct this in the notes later. But he says, stop being children, but grow up in your relationship with the Lord. I'm sorry about that. I'll have to get that cleared up. So he urged them to stand firm in the Christian faith instead of yielding to false teachings and false teachers who promoted errant teachings. Third, Paul urged believers who faced astonishing troubles to mature in the Lord, to grow up. The apostles' call for his readers to be men of courage and to be strong stands opposite Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians 14:20 that they were acting like children in their understanding instead of being mature. And so he urged his readers to mature in Christ, to grow up in understanding and in action. Fourth, Paul urged believers who faced astonishing troubles to perform everything in love. You have a whole chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 13, on love. And it stands in stark contrast to chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul had talked about the infighting and the struggling and the competition that went on because they were struggling over gifts, the gifts of tongues and miracles and all these sign gifts and whatnot. And Paul took his time to show in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 13, that all of the problems that were at Corinth were caused because of a lack of love. They were vaunting themselves. They were pushing themselves to the forefront instead of being considerate of others. Instead of being able to suffer all things or put up with all things or endure all things, they were giving up on that and so forth. Instead of being rejoicing in the truth, they were rejoicing in all sorts of other things. So these were the self-serving ways that Paul's readers were vying for attention and honor in their abuses of the spiritual gifts are revealed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So performing everything in love would end the divisive self-centeredness that plagued their ministries. This is really important. I heard one time of a pastor that took a church in a little, I think it was in Oregon, Eastern Oregon one time. And the church was just a so-so church and whatnot. But this pastor happened to be a very loving man. And he came in and just revolutionized the work. It's just a wonderful human being and what he did there. So love has a tremendous capacity to change and help things along. Fifth, Paul urged believers who faced astonishing troubles to submit to believers who met the needs of others. The household of Stephanas were some of the first converts to Christ in the area of Corinth. Achaia was actually the region in which the city of Corinth was a capital. And they, as likely the more mature and devout in the body, had devoted themselves to be responsible for the ministry and for the welfare of the rest of the church body. It's interesting, they have addicted themselves. Actually, probably a better translation, they had devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now, Paul taught, very interesting, that such believers who voluntarily shouldered the responsibility of serving the needs of other believers were not only to be honored, but other believers were obliged before God to submit to their efforts that these devout folk might minister unhindered in addressing the needs of other Christians. Now, some of these people would have been men, some of them would have been women, but they were people who were concerned about the church. They felt a responsibility for its welfare, and so they knuckled down and served and worked. Now, we've got people at Nepal Church that do that. who are very devout and very concerned about the welfare of the ministry, and they give themselves to all sorts of areas. And so what that normally happens because God has motivated them to have that desire, that responsibility to be committed. And when God has moved it within the hearts of people to be dedicated to helping other people, the Lord wants the rest of God's people to give them a clear way, not to obstruct their way, but to encourage them, because they're actually ministering for the welfare of the body. These are selfless people, not self-centered. They're selfless, and they give of themselves to meet the needs of other people. So whenever such believers voluntarily shoulder the responsibility of serving the needs of other believers, they're not only honorable, but other believers are obliged before God to submit to their efforts, that these dear folk might minister unhindered in addressing the needs of other Christians. Also, whenever a group of believers devote themselves to helping other believers, to keeping the local church functioning well, especially if it is a body that faces astonishing spiritual troubles, such folk are enormous value in God's eyes, as Paul indicated of the household of Stephanas, and so they need to be helped. Marge Kassir was here today. She was visiting from Texas. Years ago, Marge came to me and she said, "Pastor, I know we've got tons and tons of stuff up in the church attic that's just cluttering up there, and a lot of people are afraid to throw it away, even though it may be 30 years old. Would you mind," she says, "I have access, because I'm in New Hartford, I have access to the New Hartford dump. I will bring the truck if you can help me pull this stuff out." And I said, "Marge, I'd be glad to." So we came down here and we loaded up her truck. I mean, we loaded it up and away we went. And I've always looked at Marge was one of those people when she was here who was devout. We've got a lot of other people like that. If I start naming people within our body who are here now, I'm going to leave somebody out, so I don't want to do that. But that's the type of thing. I never forgot how valuable that was. And I don't know if Marge had to pay to have the dump there or not, or if she already paid. I don't know what the deal was. But and when we got rid of some big things, we got rid of the, I think we got the one of the pianos out of here at one time. But anyway, there was a lot of stuff that we had. We had staging here that had to go. It was amazing. But people like that are of enormous value in the body. And so God wants us to stay out of the way and be supportive of them. So Paul ended his epistle by sending his greetings in verses 19 to 21, admonishing his readers to withstand false teachers or others who did not know or love the Lord Jesus in verse 22a. He added a final call for the coming of the Lord in verse 22b, which is the word Maranatha, which is Aramaic, which means "our Lord come." And he gave a closing benediction expressing his love to all. So for believers who face astonishing troubles, Paul urged them to watch out for the angelic conflict, that they especially fulfill their service assignments without yielding to Satan's pressure to quit those ministries, that they stand firm in the truth versus false teaching and false teachers, that they mature, that they do everything in love, and that they submit to believers who selflessly devote themselves to meeting the needs of other Christians. So if we face astonishing troubles, may we watch out for the angelic conflict, especially in the realm of fulfilling our assignments from God without quitting, that we stand firm in the truth, that we mature in the Lord, that we do all our acts in love, that we submit to devout believers who are selflessly devoted to meeting the needs of others. Today after the service, there was a Christian, one of our members talked with me. They're friends of Christians who happened to go to another church, and didn't go into detail because it was somewhat confidential and I don't need to know that. But this other believer who is in this other church somewhere in the state of Connecticut is having all sorts of problems and really concerned about issues that are there. There certainly are big problems there. And this Christian wanted to know through this believer who was talking to me if they should stay at that situation or go on. And I noticed that in the process, these people, their growth was being stunted because the problems within the body were so great that it was blocking their capacity either to appreciate or to take value from the ministry of the word that was there. And one of the points that we have here is that we're supposed to mature in the Lord. So if it gets to the point where the Christian can't grow in the Lord and they've already gone to the pastor about the situation, they've gone to the board about it, and there's nothing that's stopping it. In fact, part of the problems here were the pastor and the board. They were just not doing things that were biblically right. They were doing things even in agreement with the bylaws, for goodness sakes. So there's a lot of big problems there. So I said, you know what, if this is the case, and they have children in the home, if that's the case, it's time for you to go somewhere else, because you need to be fed the Word of God. If you cannot grow in this situation, it's time to move. And so you can get into that situation where the Lord can bless you and you can be a blessing and so forth. So I still hope, and I would pray, I don't know this church, but I certainly hope this church gets its act together and the leaders who are the challenges here, that they would see their need to obey even the bylaws that they themselves have agreed to work with and to fit within it and to function within it so that the church could go forward. But nevertheless, encouraging this believer, you have to grow. God wants you to grow. He doesn't want you just to become stagnant. So whatever you need to do to grow in the Lord, feel free to do so. So these are things to keep in mind. God wants us to watch out for the angelic conflict, especially in the realm of fulfilling our assignments without quitting. He wants us to stand firm in the truth. He wants us to grow in Christ. He wants us to do all acts in love. He wants us to submit to devout believers who are selflessly devoted to meeting the needs of others. And if we do that, we can go a long way towards minimizing astonishing troubles that we face in our lives.